And now, the show that's all about baseball.
That's when the game, to me, is at its best.
This is the Baseball Hour with Tony Mass.
Brought to you by Bigelow Tea, Gravely Zero Turn Lawnmowers, and Window World.
On Boston's home for sports, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Throw him a changeup. Let's get out of here. There you go.
Hey, throw him a changeup, and we're getting out of here. Red Sox, with a six-game winning streak, they sweep the Orioles. That's sweet. First team to begin a season with a three-game losing streak or greater, followed by six consecutive wins since the Mets in 2005.
Well, 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 what do we have here, Jim Murray? What do we have here? Six in a row for the Red Sox after a three-game losing streak to open the season to the Baltimore Orioles. A week ago at this time, we were lamenting where the Red Sox were going to be.
Matt McCarthy was kicking them out of the city.
He was. He locked them out. He kicked him out of Boston. He said, get out of my city, Matt McCarthy. So the Red Sox responded by winning six in a row. As the old Danny from Quincy would have said, Jimmy Stewart, yeah, they're going to win six in a row and get right back in it.
They're going to win eight in a row and get back right in the race.
I want to hear from Danny from Quincy tonight, damn it.
I don't.
I want to hear from Danny. 617-779-0985 on the Baseball Hour. The Baseball Hour, and we do have a full hour tonight. How about that? It's a rarity. This time of year, that's in this city, to have a night with no game going on. April was always the best month of the year, and it is again. Baseball obviously started on time. NHL and NBA ongoing. You get the NFL draft coming up. The Masters was over the weekend. Best month of the year. But this is a baseball show, so we're going to stick on baseball here for the next 60 minutes. And the Red Sox, having won six in a row. And I'll tell you, the most impressive thing about the team so far, before I get to those of you who are getting your hopes up a little too high, too early. The two wins against Baltimore on Saturday night and against Tampa Bay, and I don't remember which game it was in that series, where the Red Sox came from behind to tie the game late in the ninth inning, in fact, and then won it in extra innings. Just think of the impact of those two games. The Red Sox are 6-3. If they lose those two games instead of coming back and winning them, they're 4-5. And we're probably looking at this thing totally differently. But I do think that this is who this team is going to be this year, which is a team that's going to play every pitch, every at-bat, every inning, and try to fight until the end because it's their only shot. It is their only shot. They're not good enough to start taking it for granted. They're just not that good enough. And anyone who thinks otherwise is getting their hopes up a little too early and they're getting a little out of control, which is where we're going to begin tonight. So I've had people suggest to me in the last day or two, and I've read some of this, some of it on Twitter, some of it in other places, but this idea that it's time to take the Red Sox seriously, that the Red Sox are good. People need to get it through their heads that the Red Sox are good. Jim Murray, do you believe that?
I think they're more interesting than they are good right now, because you'll get a better read of what this team actually is. I think, well, I mean, it's obviously still a small sample size, but you have real teams that you're going to be playing here in the Minnesota Twins and the Chicago White Sox. The Orioles proved why people say they're one of the worst teams, if not the worst teams in baseball over the weekend.
Jimmy Stewart, do you believe that the Red Sox are good?
I felt that going into the season that they were good because I predicted them to win 93 games in the American League East. So, yes.
Okay, so Jimmy, that's true. You did say the 93 wins.
Thank you.
I thought they were in the mid-80s, probably at best, and that this was a relatively average team that had the chance to overachieve a little bit. I did think they were going to be better than what a lot of people predicted. Okay, and so I thought they were going to be a competitive team this year, and that might have been wishful thinking. But let me just say this. If you think that they are good, that they have quote-unquote proven that they are good after nine games, then you're every bit as guilty, with all due respect to Matt McCarthy, as he was last week of locking him out of the city or kicking him out of Boston after three losses. Now, I'll admit, in all honesty, Matt was closer to the truth. After the way the last year and a half had gone, you had a right to feel that way after the way things were following the season opening series against the Orioles. But looking at it now, am I encouraged? Sure. Sure I am. I'll tell you what this Red Sox team reminds me of. And again, we'll take your phone calls here through the course of the hour, 617-779-0985. It's your only chance to talk baseball. There's a lot going on this week. So I'll tell you who they remind me of a little bit. And I'm afraid to even say this because I know how you all are going to respond. So just try to take it for what it's worth. When the Red Sox finished last in 2012 under Bobby Valentine, in the complete train wreck that was that year and that season, you know what they set out to do during that offseason? They set out to regain their respectability. That's what they did. And they went out and signed Shane Victorino and Mike Napoli and Jimmy, who are the other? Johnny Gomes, was he that offseason too,
yes.
Jimmy?
Mm-hmm.
So I forget all the guys that they signed during that offseason. But the whole idea was to get a collection of players who like to compete, who would work hard at it, who were probably past their primes and really weren't all that good, but they were committed professional major leaguers, and the idea was to give the city and the organization some credibility back. That was the whole idea. And then they went out and won the World Series, which to this day I still believe was a fluke. I said it then, I've said it in the immediate years thereafter, and I'll say it now. If you want to compare them to 2013, fine. Don't expect the same result. That's where the comparison should cease. They just don't have the same pitching depth that the 2013 Red Sox had. So remember, on that 2013 team, you had John Lester and John Lackey, and a healthy John Lackey. Who are the two pitchers on this team that are as good as those two? They don't exist. And if a lot of you are thinking about Chris Sale coming back and pitching this for this team and giving them some sort of big boost in the middle of the year, I tell you to hold your breath. I'm not expecting to see the real Chris Sale until the start of next year. He might pitch this year, but he's not going to give you what Lester and Lackey did in 2013. No chance. But what they can give you is the same sort of attitude and grit. And you know what was impressive about that 2013 team, if you remember it? They played every pitch of every at-bat. They were relentless. They were a pain in the ass to pitch to. They were the pain in the ass to compete against because they didn't take nights off. Now, I think this team has to do the same sort of thing. And I think that they can give you an honest effort for the large majority of the year. I think that the idea of it staying at this level, 6-3, is insane. And I think anyone who thinks otherwise is really whistling past the graveyard. They're not good enough to just show up and win 95 games.
But the positive, though, and again, this is coming from me, and I put in the email to you to start the show email this morning, Maz, like, I don't know, from a likability factor, they're a hell of a lot more likable in these last two teams, these last 2 years, and they are giving you an honest effort. You look at a game like Saturdays where they're down a run late, like I figure in the past, or at least the last 2 years, well, that game's watched. They're ready to get on to the next day on Sunday. And they come back and win that game in extras. Like, they got some balls, you know? So that's all. Just give me an honest effort and just go out there and, you know, actually try. Unlike last year, a guy like J.D. Martinez, I know you have some thoughts on him and how he's been playing. And so far, you know, they brought me in back a little bit.
Yeah, so look, Murray, again, what they've been is re-energized.
Yeah.
Okay? They've been re-energized. And I don't think I'm telling you anything you don't know. It starts with the manager. It starts with the manager.
Well, I think you said last week, like, he is the star of the team, and I agree completely.
Yeah, he's the face of the club. And, yeah. I think that their whole identity, and this is, it's not totally unusual in baseball, but it does speak to the strength of Cora's personality. That I think Cora shows up every day, and he showed up from day one and said, guys, this is how we're going to play, and we're going to be fine. And I think that they kind of feed off of that. And he is a confident guy, and I think right now they needed a confident guy with some credibility, and they are feeding off of Alex Cora. So 617-779-0985. I'm going to give you the statistic about the Red Sox that concerns me in just 1 minute, but we'll take a couple of calls, and we do have an open line or two if you want to hop aboard. Steve's in Rhode Island. Steve, what do you got?
Hey, Maz, good evening. Hey, I wanted to talk about that runner on second base, but first, just real quickly, I don't know if you got a chance to listen to that Hardcore Baseball podcast with McCarthy last week, but Jay Stu, he was excellent, just tremendous, and I just can't say it enough. You got to get this guy on, you know, contribute a little bit on your show, because he was outstanding. So we want to say that. And
yeah, we just talked to him a second ago. Jimmy, is this your dad?
No, it's not.
Oh, all right, Steve, go.
No, because I wasn't listening the whole time, but the concert story with Felger was great too. But anyway, I thought I heard, I'm a longtime season ticket holder, been to a lot of games in my day. So I like the old baseball, move the runner over to third base with no outs, that type of thing. But I heard Cora say something at the end of that game last week that interested me. And he said that our focus is not on the runner on second base. Our focus is on the batter. And we're really looking to get that batter out. And I think what I took from that, and I could be wrong, was that they want to stay out of that crooked number inning, and they really are almost going to concede that runner on second to score, but they want to stay out of that big inning, and they think that they can then go ahead and they'll take the outs, and they'll get out of the inning, maybe they'll go up a run, and then they're going to come up to bat and try to get at least one run and win the game. I don't know if you took that the same way, but that was my understanding.
So okay, so
take me.
Yeah, so Steve, I'll tell you what. Look, in those extra inning situations now, and the Red Sox have had a couple of them, there's an advantage for the home team. It's huge. There's just no question about it. There's an advantage for the home team. If the other team scores only one run, then you bunt the guy over, and now you get two cracks to bring him in, one of which can be on a fly ball. And so this gets into the whole, we discussed this last week, the analytics of it, the math of why would you just try to score one run if you're on the road? You get that guy on second, you bunt him over to third, you only get one, and now you know the team in the bottom half is going to start with a man on second base. So what are the chances you can keep them off the board? So you play for two in the top half is the point. And I would tell you, I'm not sure that's right. And I sort of agree with Cora if this is what he meant. And maybe it's something we can talk about with him later on. But just because there's a guy on second and nobody out, why are you assuming that that guy will automatically score? Like, I think that's a cop-out. In fact, I think it's a load of garbage. So if the team in the bottom half wants to bunt the guy to third, all they need is a run, fine, bunt him to third. Now we got one out. And if I have a reliever on the mound that I think I have, which is a good one, you're telling me a relief pitcher can't get a strikeout with one out? So that guy keeps the ball out of play because he's a strikeout pitcher. Now you got a man on third with two outs. Defense goes back. Everybody's playing their position. And now you've got, what, a 70% chance of getting the guy out? I don't think that guy on second with nobody out is an automatic run the way everyone else does. So, but it does relate to a couple things, one of which is the extra inning games, that is, relates to a couple things, one of which is the statistic I wanted to share with you about what I find concerning about this Red Sox team. And then secondly, and this has nothing to do with the bullpen or extra inning games for that matter, the second thing is J.D. Martinez, who is on an absolute freaking tear. Boy, is J.D. Martinez hot. And if you're worried about the middle of that Red Sox lineup, you really have no reason to worry. Martinez is now hitting. Devers is hitting. He had a good weekend. And so far this season, in eight games, J.D. Martinez, five homers, 16 RBI, and an OPS of almost 1,600. I believe he was named the American League Player of the Week this week. J.D. Martinez has been a force. But if you're surprised by it, you shouldn't be. And we'll examine why when we come back on the Baseball Hour.
The show that's all about baseball. The Baseball Hour. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
From breaking news,
what are we doing?
To breaking balls.
They all move slow now, and they all just want to play softball.
This is the Baseball Hour with Tony Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Terrific day out of J.D. Martinez. 3-for-4, pair of home runs. He's driven in three. Another drive.
Oh, no.
Out to center. Back it goes. That's a home run. J.D. Martinez with his third home run today. Oh, man, there is hot, and then there is J.D. Martinez right now.
Red Sox hit 14 runs yesterday after coming back on Saturday night. J.D. Martinez has been an absolute force in the middle of that lineup. Again, 16 RBI in eight games. Remember, he missed a game He missed one because of COVID protocols. And he jumps right back in there and starts hammering away again. So there were people during the offseason, Jimmy Stewart, Jim Murray, I don't know if you guys noticed this or not, but there were people during the offseason with J.D. Martinez that said, oh, yeah, boy, losing that iPad last year, boy, that was a big blow.
Yeah, right.
He didn't have that video in the dugout. And, you know, can J.D. come back? Can he bounce back? And, you know, this idea that he's now, like, somehow comeback player of the year has bugged the crap out of me from the very beginning with J.D. Martinez. Because I think people, for whatever reason, don't want to acknowledge the reality of why J.D. Martinez wasn't good last year. It's pretty simple. He quit. From the very beginning, he quit.
He admitted it, Maz, while they were doing spring training. Remember? Like, there was a clip of him basically admitting as much. And it was evident anyway, even if you happen to watch him for, you know, any few at-bats last year between him, Benintendi, Devers at times. They looked like they didn't even want to be there.
So, Murray, and you'll have to refresh my memory, too, but my recollection is what he said was a little bit more circumspect, for lack of a better word. It was, you know, him saying, yeah, you know, it was a tough year. I mean, there was COVID, there was a lot going on. You know, it didn't have the, like, he just sort of discussed all these parameters and how he had a hard time focusing, and that it wasn't your standard year and a lot of guys struggled. Something to that effect.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know.
Heard it as I quit last year.
Okay, and I heard it like you did. I quit. I couldn't hack it. I didn't want to deal with it. I couldn't hack it. And so, you know, we weren't going to win it, so I shut it down. So I would just tell you that there are a lot of things that I believe about J.D. Martinez. Okay, J.D., you've never heard me once say the guy's washed up or he can't hit or that's it, he's done. You never heard me say any of that. I've said all along the strength of this team is the core in the middle of the lineup. It's Bogarts, it's Martinez, it's Rafael Devers. It's those three guys. And the reason I believe that is because I think there's talent for all three of those guys. I think that I never once felt that J.D. Martinez wasn't going to hit, not for a second. And, you know, as I look at it now, what I would say to you about J.D. Martinez is this. Just don't tell me he's a leader. Don't ever tell me he's a leader about how he takes guys under his wing. He works on their swings with them. Fine. Then he's a hitting guru or... Don't tell me he's a leader, because leaders don't quit the way he did a year ago. And by the way, I would also tell you that in 2019, you know what he hit in the final month of the season? 228. And you know why I bring that up? Because they were out of it. And you know what he did then? He quit. So I just think he's one of these guys. And then look, there were a lot of them like it, that if they're in it and they're in the playoffs, or they have a chance to make the playoffs, he's fine. But that, to me, the guy who doesn't play as soon as the games aren't interesting to him, because, again, that is sort of a slippery slope if you're not careful. Well, what if the team's sort of on the bubble? The J.D. Martinez unwillingness to really focus last year scares me, because at what point does he decide that the season's not worthy anymore? Because he did it at the end of 2019, and then he sucked all of last year. He really quit. So now he's invested again. Good. I'm glad. I thought Cora would bring some of this to the table. I thought Cora would get some of these guys dialed in. And I think he's already having an impact on some other people in the lineup, in addition to J.D. Martinez. And we'll get to Rafael Devers in the next segment. But J.D. Martinez, I just, you know... And again, I'm manufacturing this, okay? So you can criticize me for building the straw man if you want. But this idea that this is like some great bounce back, you know, comeback player of the year type of stuff, not literally, but that type of stuff. Oh, stop. The only person that was in his way last year was himself. What the story really is that he quit last year. That's still the story. But we've moved on. Even though I'm still digging my claws into this, let's just not go make him out to be some sort of hero because he's hitting again. The real change was last year. This guy in the last 5 years has been one of the best hitters in baseball. Best hitters. In 2020, he shut it down. Video or no video. And again, I'll just say for the record, those iPads in the dugout, I don't think they should be allowed for anybody. Anthony's in Vegas on the Red Sox pitching. Go ahead, Anthony.
Hey, guys. Like what you were saying, I think the lineup looks good right now. But pitching-wise, I think if we really want to be serious, you know, World Series contenders, Eovaldi, Erod, those are more like number three guys, I think, on a championship staff or a championship contender staff, three or four. Do you think Hyatt Bloom is going to want to part with, I feel he's like way too analytical and frugal and overvalues prospects to give up something so we can actually be a contender with the pitching?
So, Anthony, my feeling at this stage is that if you are expecting the Red Sox to, and I find it amusing that we're even talking about this yet, just nine games in. And again, it's been a good nine games or a good six, which they've won. They went undefeated last week. Hard to do in baseball in any week. So they're now 6-3. We're already talking about them adding an ace at the deadline. This is part of my problem with it, if you want to know the truth. Slow down. Slow down. They were supposed to get off to a good start. They had 6 with the Orioles and 3 with Tampa. I thought there was a chance they could go something like 6-3 if they came out ready to go. They didn't come out ready to go. It took them 3 games to get up to speed, and then they decided to wake up. And since then, it's been pretty good. In fact, they've been so good in the last week that even Garrett Richards couldn't undermine them. He tried. They got him 2 runs right away, and then he gave up 2. So he tried to cut their legs off. But that didn't work because, again, they're playing pretty good baseball right now, or I would say entertaining baseball. I don't think it's perfect because they haven't played 2 good teams. And overall, just about everybody in baseball is clustered in the middle at the moment. So the Red Sox are on the higher end. I think they have the 5th best record in the game right now after 9 games, which is good. But let's see what happens when they start to play people. And they were supposed to start today, but again, for those of you just joining us, the game in Minnesota postponed. City officials in the Minneapolis area, along with MLB and the teams involved, elected to postpone the game because of the issues going on there. And if you're not up to speed on it, in the last, Murray, did this happen this morning or last night?
Yesterday.
Yesterday. Okay. So a 20-year-old African-American man was shot by a white police officer in the Minneapolis area last night during what seemed to be a relatively routine traffic stop. This is obviously during the trial of Derek Chauvin, which relates to the George Floyd murder or killing in the Minneapolis area last year. And so obviously tensions are high. And all 3 games in Minnesota, there's supposed to be 3 games there today. The Timberwolves were supposed to play, the Minnesota Wild were supposed to play, and the Twins were supposed to play. Not something you see much in this day and age anymore. 3 home games in the same city on the same day. Oftentimes the hockey arena and the basketball arena are the same and are shared. It's a shared facility. So that obviously is not the case in Minnesota, where the rink is in St. Paul. And the other 2 facilities are in Minneapolis. But no sports in Minnesota tonight. The Red Sox are due to play tomorrow. But the weather looks bad. So it could be that the Red Sox get a couple of off days here. And my guess is if that happens, Wednesday will almost certainly be a doubleheader. I can't imagine how it wouldn't be. And now that I think of it, let me just try to call up their schedule here quickly, because I'm not sure where the Red Sox go after Minnesota. I haven't looked that far out. I should have, but naturally I have not. And so I don't even know whether a doubleheader is out of the question, but I know you don't want to come out of there needing to make up 2 games. The Red Sox come home from Minnesota to play the White Sox on Friday and have 3 games, or 4 games actually, with Chicago here on Monday, counting the Patriots Day game. So I wouldn't rule out a doubleheader in Minnesota on Thursday if that game gets rained out tomorrow. Okay, hold on now here. You guys are going to have to help me here. Was the Twin series a 4-gamer initially or a 3-gamer?
The Twins right now, it looks like it's a 4-game series, yeah. Tony. So they could do a doubleheader Wednesday and a doubleheader Thursday.
Okay, so you know what, Jimmy? I bet that they wouldn't do that.
Oh.
I'm sorry. I thought it was a 3-game series. It's a 4-gamer. And the reason I tell you they wouldn't, I don't think they'd play back-to-back doubleheaders because it would kill the pitching staffs of both teams. So they play 1 doubleheader, I think, and then they would take the other game and make it up at a later time. In any case, that's an awful lot of time on scheduling, which I know most of you don't really care about. The point is, I think there's a chance the Red Sox are going to get rained out tomorrow, and you're going to be looking at a doubleheader here in the next couple of days after that. 617-779-0985. Murray's get your headlines, and when we come back, I promise. Rafael Devers, and the thing that concerns me most about the Red Sox after their first nine games and a thing that could really be an obstacle to their success based on the early going. We'll tell you what that is after Murray gets you caught up.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Talking bases on balls.
Huge ones.
It's the Baseball Hour with Tony Mass on your home for Boston Sports, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Inning continues here against Bruce Zimmerman. That'll send up Marwin Gonzalez. Marwin in left field tonight. Xander Bogaerts up to second. Devers at first. Marwin was 1-for-3. Drove in a run. Walked a couple of times on Thursday. Go back into first base, and they've got him in a rundown. Rafael Devers, Bogaerts is rounding third. He is trying to score, and he's going to score! And Devers still in a rundown, tagged out, but the Red Sox got that second run. Well, that looked like the inning was over. The Red Sox wind up squeezing out another run on the base paths.
Yeah, horrible base running. Meanwhile, you get a run. It looked like, you know, he's looking at Bogey like it was going to be a double steal or something, and he ventured off the bag, but he stayed in a rundown long enough. It's just a bad rundown play by the Orioles, and it cost him a run.
It's Rafael Devers getting picked off first base by the catcher a couple of days ago. Stayed in the rundown, got the run home. So it ends up being a positive play in some ways, but it was a negative play. He got picked off. The Orioles botched the rundown. So this is a thing to keep an eye on here in the early part of the year, the mental mistakes. The Red Sox have had a lot of them. And I will tell you that if you've watched them in the early part of the year, and I don't know how many of you have, but if you are pleasantly surprised that the Red Sox are 6-3, you're not alone. If you think that they may give you a season, that's good. But I'd also tell you that if you think they're going to be a decent and competitive team, or dare I say a good team, well, then you have to critique them for the mistakes they made, because these are the plays that could end up costing them games and hurting them in the long run. So what you just heard there, again, was Rafael Devers getting picked off first base in the first inning. This was the game that Garrett Richards started. So Devers gets picked off. The run comes home. Bogaerts ends up making home before they get Devers for the second out. So the Red Sox end up winning that game. And this would have been the Saturday game, right, Jimmy? I'm getting all these mixed up. So this is the is the Saturday game. Just an inning later, the Red Sox are in the field. And by the way, I should tell you, Garrett Richards promptly went out in that game and gave up back-to-back home runs on consecutive pitches to erase the 2-0 lead, and it was 2-2. So these are things that are typically symptomatic or emblematic of a bad team. Base running mistakes, not putting up a zero immediately after you score, or forgetting how many outs there were. So this happened in the second inning after Devers got picked off in the first. Go ahead, Jimmy.
On the 3-2 runner going. The throw down. Devers will scoop that as the batter has struck out.
What was that all about? Everybody thought there was three outs. I was like, well, am I wrong?
That's two.
Got me. What, are you kidding me? I said, what's going on? They just walk off the field like it's the third out. I was waiting for a strike him out, throw him out. Look at this. Look at this. No tag. He just comes in and catches it. Like, he thinks there's three outs.
Got to be it.
Devers taking the throw at shortstop way in front of the bag to begin with, but he catches it like there's three outs. Strange.
Big infield meeting there as the Sox manager goes back to the dugout. He wasn't happy with that.
What is that?
The Sox have had some issues with that. Guys forgetting how many outs there were already in the early going. And we know Alex Cora well enough to know probably nothing ticks him off more than that.
Boy, that looks bad.
Sloppy. Sloppy is what it is. Again, J.D. Martinez forgot last week. That was against Tampa Bay. That was in the eighth inning. The Red Sox down a run, one out. Ball hit into the outfield. Martinez takes off, starts running home, caught for the second out. He then turns around and realizes, oops, they doubled him off. The Red Sox fortunately, came back and won the tied the game in the ninth, tied it again in the 11th, and won it in the 12th. So they overcame the mistake. But it was a stupid mistake. Then Devers did it again the other day. That was on Saturday. So a couple things about this, just for those of you that didn't see the play. Okay, this was in the second inning. Ruiz stole second on a strikeout for the second out. On the throw down, Devers came up in front of the bag, caught the ball, started running toward the dugout like there were three outs. Never bothered to put a tag on the base runner who was stealing. That was Ruiz. So Ruiz gets to second. Cora then comes out of the dugout, calls a little mound meeting. Cora was asked about it after the game. I think this is also worth hearing because he was asked about, did you go out to talk to Devers? What, one thing they said in the play-by-play there, initially X said, well, everybody starts running off the field. No, not everybody. Because the Red Sox were shifted at the time, Bogarts was over, in the middle of the diamond. Bogarts started running to third because he recognized someone had to cover third base. There was no one over there. Garrett Richards also ran over to that side of the field to back the play up. So it looked like multiple guys were headed towards the dugout, but the only person who forgot how many outs there were was Rafael Devers. So Cora was asked after the game, did you call the meeting on the mound to talk to Devers? Here's what Cora said.
For some reason, Rafi, he didn't tag the runner, and just one of those that I wanted to slow down the game down. I just felt like everything was going fast. It was a different feel today, actually, with the fans. They were into it. There were a lot of them. Even myself, I had to slow down a little bit early on. So just a message, we got nine innings. We play it this way. It's going to be too fast for us. So we did a good job after that.
Okay, so now Cora made sort of a generic, the game was speeding up on everybody because the crazy stuff happened an inning before. Remember, there was the rundown with Devers where he got out, but they got the run home. And then Richards gives up two home runs. So Cora says the game was spinning. I think he was covering it up. I think he was pissed off. And he just went out there and said, cut the crap. Let's go. We're playing a ball game here. We just had a 2-0 lead a minute ago. Now it's 2-2, and now we're forgetting how many outs there were. So I think that's what it was about. There's one other thing that I do think I wonder about whether Cora saw it and at all wanted to address it and nip it in the bud. On the play, Devers comes in front of the bag, catches the throw, starts running off the field like there were three outs. Garrett Richards is caught on camera looking at Devers and holding, then lifts up like the number two, like there's two outs. But the look on his face suggests there's two outs, you moron. Not like, yo, two, we still got to get one. It had a little more edge to it. And again, I'm reading into body language here. But it did not look like Garrett Richards was especially happy. And I would say that if you're Garrett Richards, with the way you've pitched up to that point in particular, after completely throwing up on yourself in the first game and then giving up back-to-back home runs with a 2-0 lead in the first inning of the next start, I would say you shouldn't be calling out anybody because you haven't won jack in your career. The other thing is, even though he was right, it's not the right thing to do on the field. Nobody needs to be calling attention to it. Just play it the right way and talk about it later with your teammate after the game or in the dugout or down in the runway where nobody's looking. So Richards is really bugging the crap out of me in the early part of this season. There's something about that guy I don't like. And Murray, he did shave his mustache. So I wonder if he heard Matt McCarthy tooling on his mustache.
Or he just looked in the mirror. Wouldn't take much.
Well, so that's true, too. Look. Yeah, but remember that the guy who shaved it off is also the guy who looked at it the first time and said,
yeah, I think this looks good.
Yeah, this is good. Look at me, man. I'm a badass. With my, what would you call that, a Fu Manchu?
I think so. Yeah, half Manchu. It was, I don't know what the hell he was going for with that look.
So, Richards.
He continues to be one of the red flags on this team.
He really does.
Yeah.
He really does. And Richards bothers me in general.
You got some arsonists in that bullpen, too.
This is the Baseball Hour with Tony Mass on Boston's home for sports. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.